It's the World's Strongest Man podcast, looking back on all the finest moments from this year's finals as the Brits flew the flag in Florida and we got a new face in first place.
On to the last stone, Martins Lissis, and with this, he becomes the World's Strongest Man.
Boom. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the World's Strongest Man Review podcast. I'm James Richardson, and I'm joined again by Colin Bryce.
Yeah, thanks, James.
And strongman fan and top strongman presenter, Radzi.
Hello.
Wow, happy new year, Radzi.
Thank you very much. How time flies since I last saw you.
Do you know, it feels like ages since we last spoke. Wasn't that long, but so much has happened in the meantime. The incredible Giants Live Arena tour airing on Channel 5 and, of course, the finals in Florida, which were brilliant. Have you got any resolutions for the new year, Rads?
My resolutions for New Year, make sure that my calendar is free for the brand new Giants Live event, the Royal Albert Hall Strongman Classic.
Okay.
I think that's what your handwriting, isn't it, Cole? Can't quite read it.
There's the 20 under the table. Right.
Colin, Bryce, I'm going to ask you about all the events that Giants Live is bringing us in 2020 in a second, but first off, resolutions?
I mean, my resolution, obviously, it's about one of the big Giants Live events. Mm-hmm. It's to become the fastest man in the world, strongest man presenting team. As I take you down, Radzi, you're going down, sucker. We're having a little sprint off in a few weeks' time.
We'll talk about that very, very soon, I'm sure. What's coming up in the show? It is quite a packed podcast, this. We're going to be hearing from The Beast, getting his thoughts on a mad week in Florida. We'll also be gathering the thoughts of some of our British athletes who really brought the heat in Bradenton. And we'll be catching up with the man of the moment, Mr. World's Strongest Man 2019, Martins Lissis. All in all, it's the perfect end to the strongman year. If you want to stay in touch with us across social media, well, there's our website, theworldstrongestman.com. There's the Facebook page, there's Twitter, @WorldStrongest, and on Instagram, @TheWorldStrongestMan. Very good. Let's start our look back with one of the real heroes of all the action we've seen over the Christmas period, Mark Felix, as you hopefully caught up with on Giants Live. Mark elevating his legend status to a whole new level with world records, not once, not twice, but three times. Mark, who is one of the nicest strongmen on the planet, as well as one of the strongest, is on the line now. Mark Felix, thank you so much for joining us in our review show this year.
You're welcome.
What a year it's been. And there's so much to look back on from your point of view. I mean, first of all, in Giants Live, the way you destroyed the Hercules Hole, not once, not twice, but three times. Incredible.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of training going to it, you see. So thing about me, I don't like to lose. So I always make sure that when stuff like the Hercules Hole coming up, like a massive event for me, I just make sure that I train it and I just look well. So I've been working on it.
Mark, how do you train for a Hercules Hold?
Well, I have a few world record in grips events. So I still, even though I have records and I got big hands, I still have to put the work in. So I do a lot of work on the grip hole.
Thing about Mark is Mark also, you do a hard work job, don't you, Mark? And you work and not a lot of hours. I mean, yesterday I was trying to get a hold of Mark. He didn't finish till 8 p.m. Right. I mean, Mark is a hardworking guy.
Half day.
You know, never shake the hand of a carpenter too hard. You know, but I mean, Mark's, he's got that and the gift of genetics, his massive hands.
Well, yeah, but also mentally. I mean, the Hercules Hold must take so much mental strength. And it always looks like something in which you have to draw on the rage inside. Now, you're one of the nicest people on the planet, Mark.
Yeah.
So where does all your rage come from when you're battling against that pain?
Well, it's not something that you have to control. I know the pain is only temporary, and I know my body could take it. So I just kind of ignore the burn. I just switch off, and I just hold on as tight as I could.
We haven't mentioned his age yet. How old are you now, Mark, anyway? 57?
No, I am 53 years young.
Yep. We're the same age, you and me, Mark. You, me, and Botswana, we're all the same age. Yeah. But that's where the similarities end. The crazy thing is, Mark, though, that you're not just still doing it. You're actually getting better. I mean, at the age of 53, to be coming in and setting a new world record, and then a month or two later, setting another world record, and then one after that. How proud are you?
Well, I am proud. You know, I always try and work on improving all the time because when I'm doing stuff, I don't just do it because I could do it. I do stuff because I love it, and I just want to keep doing it.
Do you know the first time? Remember the first time I met you, Mark? It was in a wet car park in Wolverhampton, outside a local public swimming bus, and no one turned up. It was miserable. And I was emceeing to. I mean, you know, it was quicker to introduce the crowd to the athletes. It was one of those days. I'd never seen you before. I can't remember if it was your first contest or your second, but. And Glenn Ross was there, who's, you know, was a brilliant powerlifter, Britain's strongest man in his time. And I remember you saying, I speaking to you, and I said, do you think you can do the deadlift, mate? You know, if it's you're new to all this. And you said something like, yeah, I reckon I'll do 13, 14 reps. And it was like, it was unbelievably heavy, like 370 kilos on a day when gravity was heavy. And I thought, God, this guy's just full of it. Who is this new guy anyway? Glenn went out and did 5. And I went, you still think you can do it? And you went, yeah. And you did. You did more than that. It was extraordinary. And that was when we knew we had what a talent we had on our hands.
Have you got anything targeted for 2020? This year was all about the Hercules Hold, but is there anything in particular that you're really aiming for 2020?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to keep improving, you know, because at the moment I'm feeling great, you know. So I'm just focusing on improving. Also, focusing on the Britain's Strongest Man, because I would love to win the Britain's Strongest Man. So I've been training extra hard for that one. I mean, I'm looking at all those guys and them, and I know I could do a lot of those stuff, but I just have to, like, you know, stay focused and just keep trying to improve.
When is Britain's Strongest Man, Colin?
It's January 18th at the Sheffield Arena, FlyDSA Arena.
Right, not long to go. Listen, Mark, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for all the wonderful moments you gave us in 2019, and best of luck for the year ahead.
Thank you.
The incredible Mark Felix. Radzi, I know you're a massive fan of the Hercules Hold.
Yeah, it was just lovely listening to him chat to you there, because as he was speaking, I couldn't help get that image out of my mind of when he broke that world record at Europe's Strongest Man. The bit you possibly didn't see on the TV was the reaction that all the other strongmen had when he performed. Because he didn't beat them by 5 seconds. He put daylight between himself and the others. And then fast forward to his second attempt when he goes for it again. And I'll be honest, Connor, I didn't want to see it because I thought he's done the Bob Beamon. He's made something so special. I thought there's no way it's going to feel as monumental. And people they encroached on that record, especially OB. And then for him to do what he did, to look up earlier than he normally looks up at, to be shaking and convulsing and to hold it, then he gets it. He realises he's got it. And the amphitheatre and Neil pick up to response, get the crowd to do the bow down 3 times. Oh, my goodness. Genuinely, I think the sporting moment, period, all sports of 2019. What a man.
Damn. And that's before we even get to World's Strongest Man.
Correct.
Brilliant stuff on Giants Live.
Well, I mean, you only have to go and look on YouTube.
Right.
90 million views, can't be wrong, baby.
Wow. Giants Live. Just briefly, before we get on to the action in Florida, what does 2020 hold for the Giants Live Arena Tour?
Oh, goodness, yeah. Obviously, January 18th, we're in Sheffield. Britain's Strongest Man kicks us off. April 4th, we're going to be at Europe's Strongest Man, the biggest one-day contest in the world. First Direct Arena in Leeds.
Nice.
Big Thor's already going to promise to be there to try and get his 6th title. Ooh. And then we move on June 6th, the Strongman Classic. We're going old school at the Royal Albert Hall. We're going posh as well. Make sure you buy your missus a hat when, you know,
and you know what?
When
get
you
in,
come.
Get in early, because as you were mentioning before, it's not a big capacity, Royal Albert Hall.
You know what? It's actually 4,250, and they've added in an extra 400-odd tickets because they're opening up the very top gallery, which they have almost never done before. But we demanded it because we said, listen, guys, we need cut price tickets. We cannot be a sport of the people. Do you want to know something? They loved it. They said, geez, that's actually what the Covenant, as it's called. Mm-hmm. They had to go to the Covenant to see what they could do and this and that, because it's not actually a private enterprise. It's owned by something like 200 or 300 people who helped build it with Albert.
All right. Well, that's going to be incredible.
And it's for the people.
Nice.
Oh, well, Albert Hall, and we're for the people, baby.
That's
like
that's
Don King.
Other people, for the people, and by the people, baby.
The Ealing Don King.
All right, and then you're going to be for the Glaswegian people as well.
I begin. So we're up in there. We're in the west end of Scotland.
I just lost the audience there. Really.
Well, when's the Glasgow Northern show? Irish accent.
That's going to be brilliant. When is it going to be, Glasgow?
SSE Arena, which is just the most immense stadium. Have you ever been at 15,000 people at holes?
Right.
I don't know if we'll quite get that, but... It's beautiful. And that is October 10th. But before that, Manchester. We're going to be back there as well.
Okay.
September.
What, from 15,000 people to just 25 men. 25 men who assembled in Florida for World's Strongest Man. It was a classic WSM location, sandy, sultry, sweaty. Colin, was it a classic competition?
It was one of the best ever.
Yeah?
It was magnificent, actually. And I thought the right man won. We did our job as a group of not just selectors, because they select themselves through Giants Live, but actually event organisers. And actually, we got the right events. The format was quite dramatically different,
yep,
as everyone's seen. And it is, you know, is huge amount of column inches in social media,
right,
you know, suggesting that this was wrong, that was wrong. But did we find the strongest man in the world? Yeah.
It really was special. And like you said, there was criticism, but I'll tell you what, it just delivered. Whether it was the Jeopardy,
yep,
whether it was the Brits absolutely delivering.
Boom.
And the thing is, to see them just get to the final, they all smashed it when it came to the heats.
Let's begin with those heats. And, you know, Group 1, immediately drama. Reigning champion Hapthor Bjornsson doing fantastic with those monster jam trucks. But then the farmer's walk does his foot. Now, you talked, Colin, about him being too strong coming into this World's Strongest Man. Is that what happened?
I only did it when I was at my absolute heaviest, and I've done that injury before. It's a horrible feeling. It's like a needle being driven up through the heel of your foot as your plantar fascia pulls away from the bone. So it's actually even worse the next day. That was what made Hapthor's recovery quite so brave and impressive. And would he have been better without it? Of course he would have done. Could he have been the World's Strongest Man? Maybe, but I think he did a very good job. The doctors did a great job of keeping him going.
Well, he still managed to win the heat, which is pretty extraordinary. And then it came down to Luke Stoltman against Rob Kearney in the last man standing with a place in the grand final on the line.
This is getting tighter and tighter each time. Come on, Luke. He knows he hasn't got many left in him, Luke. And I don't think Rob Kearney has either. 5 seconds to go.
Well, this will be tight. No, too tight, that's it. What a performance. And we have a Brit then in the final. And his name is Luke Stoltman. The first time he has made it through.
I love you, man.
Luke Stoltman, what can I say? You've only got and done it.
Yeah.
You've got your place in the final. How are you feeling?
Oh, emotional.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, this is my fourth year doing this, and you know, I've been third every year. So, I mean, I'm just so thankful. My dad, also my brother and my wife, you know, they're all here. And my mum's looking up from wherever she is up in the sky, you know. So I know she's going to be proud. I just wish she was here to see it.
Well, Luke Stoltman there with Michelle Ackley. And I'm delighted to say that he joins us now on the line.
Hey, guys, how are we doing?
Hey, big man.
Look, we were just talking about that incredible moment in the heat when you went up against Rob Kearney in Last Man Standing to get your place in your first ever grand final. What was that like?
It was a mix of emotions, you know, because Rob and myself are very, very close and very good friends. We've been on the circuit for, you know, for a few years now, so I know how much it means to any kind of strongman athlete to make it to the final of World's Strongest Man. That's the pinnacle of our sport. So it was so kind of tense, and I mean, I was almost in tears before I went up to do the kind of last man standing against Rob. I had my dad was there, my wife, obviously Tom, he was kind of fighting for his spot in the final as well. So it was just very emotional, I felt. But I mean, I just felt quite good when I was in Florida competing in the world. So it was pretty... You kind of felt the weight of a nation.
When you came through, I think a lot of us expected the classic Luke rip the shirt off manoeuvre, but you actually took a real moment for yourself and savoured it. But what was going on there?
It was more out of respect to Rob, again, because we are so close. You know, I've been in that position before against Martins and Robert Overs last year, so I knew how sucky that feels to, you know, to miss out in the last hurdle. So rather than be my kind of normal rip the shirt off, roar to the crowd, I just want to pay, you know, Rob that respect and go across and give him a cuddle. And, you know, it meant a lot to me that Rob was so happy for me.
Well, out of interest, what do you think of Last Man Standing as a way to finish the heats off? I mean, I have no idea who thought it up as an idea. Genuine opinion, please. Hit me.
Horrible man. honestly, I hate being in it, but I love watching it back, and I can see how the fans kind of react to it. You've got them in the palm of your hand, you know, it's like a tennis match, you know, back and forth, who's going to, you know, mess up. It just takes one little mistake. And like I say, I've been in the losing position to Martins a couple of years ago in Botswana, so it's so tough to take. Obviously, it worked well for me, so I love it now.
who would you be most scared of facing off that?
Tom. Oh, Tom.
Your brother, really?
Tom can do it with one hand. Keep going.
Are you joking? Or are you... Probably not, actually. His one arm's longer than my two.
I mean, Tom's just phenomenal at stones. He's got that want to kind of succeed. You know, when some of the other guys, maybe they've made it, and Tom's still trying to make it, so he's got that kind of bit between his teeth.
You both made it. So there was you and Tom and Adam Bishop all through... Yeah. All three of you making your first ever grand finals. How much was that kind of having a team of Brits through? How much was that a comfort to you, or how much did that boost you in the grand finals?
Having Adam and having Tom in the final, it was just kind of icing on the cake. You know, this year, 2019, I set my goals to make the final. So I did that. So once you can achieve your goals, anything else is a kind of added bonus. So I think that's what I kind of took away, kind of learning. Thinking, right, I'm going to make the final. Just expect to make the final, and then let's kind of.
Surely your goal is to win. Now, can you do
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, for sure.
Can you do it? Can you win World's Strongest Man?
I think, Colin, to be honest, on the events and the right events for me, I believe I can. I'm a great all round athlete now, I think.
Who would you rather win, you or your brother?
Me.
The brotherly love isn't that much then.
No, but Colin, let's brilliant stuff. Luke, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck with 2020, and look forward to seeing you back in action really soon.
Yes, for sure. Cheers, guys.
Wow, Luke Stoltman, who's now become one of the big players on the strongman scene, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been a big personality, but this year actually we had a personality of the year award, and it was a group of the worthies got together, from Maggie Vare to a lot of the equipment guys and the producers and everybody. And he was awarded the Jim Pollock Award, the Quaich, which Jimmy was a Scotsman as well. And he passed away not that long ago, a couple of years ago now. And it was to award those who have enormous personalities like you, Jimbo.
Right. And well, no, like that Jimmy. That Jimmy Pollock, who was a legend.
You're both Jimbos.
Well, you're very kind. You're very kind. Alrighty, okay. That was Luke Stoltman. And let's now talk a little bit about Heat 2, which saw another Brit going through. Another Brit who, like Luke, just missed out right at the death the previous year, Adam Bishop. And to come through from a group like this that featured Konstantin Janashia and Robert Oberst was really, really impressive. It all came down, really, to the deadlift. Janashia, if you recall, doing a whopping 10 reps, and then Bishop turns it up all the way to 11.
He could do. He's going to do this, isn't he?
He is going to do this quite comfortably as well.
30 seconds left to go. Just one more is fine.
He certainly went away and did his homework, Danny. Boy, oh boy, this is tremendous.
Well, look at that. He's done it. Does he know he's done it? Now he knows he's done it. Well, just an amazing performance there from Adam Bishop. The gauntlet was thrown down. He picked the gauntlet up, set fire to it, and threw it back in Janashia's face.
Brilliant stuff there, Radzi.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm actually proud of Bish. I remember going to his very first ever strongman show in Leicestershire. There were guys having apple crumble as an intro workout. It was in a car park. I think he came maybe 12th of about 27 bouncers. And he then moved into under 105.
How long ago was that?
So this was, we were at uni together, and he did that. If you push me for the year, I'd go 2011.
That's insane.
And his trajectory has just been phenomenal. And also to see how methodical he's been. He's taken what he learnt at Loughborough, his sports science background, strength and conditioning now, and you're seeing that put into practice. It's textbook into practice at the highest possible level in strongman. It is genuinely inspirational.
Right. Well, you know what? We spoke to him in our previous show, but we can hear from Adam again now, because it's really interesting the way that he's approached his whole strongman game, not just in terms of body, but also in mind. Over now to Adam Bishop, who joins us again on the line.
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys.
Adam, so nice to have you back on, especially looking back on an appearance in the World's Strongest Man Grand Finals.
Oy.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me back. It's great to hear that, you know, and it's great to watch you back.
Well, that moment when you made it through, that roar at the end of Last Man Standing, what was going through the Bish brain at that point?
Oh, man, it was a big mix of emotions, really, because obviously against Big Obi in the stone off, and I was confident I was going to win that. Yeah, I'd been working pretty hard with that, especially because myself and Luke had actually been training the stones together, and we'd been kind of matching each other on that stone for a match. So seeing him go through the heat before me, I was in a really good place for that. And obviously, you know, the way that Obi kind of picked up that injury was unfortunate, but so it was a stranger. I was concerned for Obi, but then obviously I was elated that I was actually finally making it to that final after two near misses the last couple of years.
But you'd really targeted the stones in your preparations, and boy, did it pay off.
Yeah, 100%. It was worth all the time and effort doing all the work on the stones and investing in the stone setup. So yeah, I'm very, very pleased. Obviously, you know, because it had to go down to the stones, but I managed to make it through this time.
What did you make of the finals in general in Florida and Bradenton?
I thought it was great, you know, because it was so much quicker. Probably, I don't know if it came across on the TV, but you know, the difference between the shows, obviously, you know, compared to previous years where Worlds is a very slow to run process. I mean, this was a much faster paced show, and it was a bigger challenge for the guys competing, and I really enjoyed it, just having those kind of five events in one day, like a more like a traditional kind of strongman show, like the one day live shows with Giants Live. I thought it was great. I think it was a good positive change for the sport.
Bish, there seemed to be a real changing of the guard. We think of Charlie getting injured, Terry not being there, but then you guys stepping up in the form of the Stoltmans and yourself. What has happened to make Britain so good right now?
I mean, I have to give a lot of credit to Eddie for kind of kicking on British Strongman. You know, we're getting bigger crowds than ever before. I think we've got the best crowds in Strongman here in Britain. And that support just allows us to, you know, to train harder, compete harder, and kind of really drives us forward. So yeah, definitely the British public and getting behind us in the Giants live shows and watching World's Strongest Man is a huge factor in you know where Britain's Strongest Man is right now.
Bish, it wasn't just practicing on the stones and buying a shipping container that you brought to your game in 2019. You also worked on the mental side of things in preparation for Florida. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so I was having some issues at competitions in terms of maybe some anxiety issues, but going into the shows, not really wanting to be there sometimes. So I actually went out and I took my own advice I usually use with our players, and I got myself a sports psychologist, Joe Davies, and I started working with her. And we did a lot of work in the build-up to Worlds, you know, going through my kind of strong points, focusing on my strengths, and definitely we had a plan throughout getting through to the final, and then obviously the final events as well. That was hugely beneficial. I'd recommend it to a lot of sportsmen just to look at the psychological side as well, because in a competition as extreme as World's Strongest Man, you need to be really focused on multiple events on every single day, and any kind of weaknesses and in your mental game will be shown up straight away.
Where do you think you've reached the finals now, the grand finals in 2020? How far do you think Bishop can go now that you've ditched Cautious Corner?
So in my two goals, the only two focuses I've got for 2020 are winning Britain's Strongest Man against the top five of World's Strongest Man. Both achievable goals, but they're both measurable for me as well, and I know exactly what I need to do to be at that level. So yeah, I'm very much goal driven. I'm very much number driven. It's just the nature of who I am, and obviously the job I do. So yeah, they're my two goals that I've got focused on this year.
End of January, Britain's Strongest Man. Looking forward to seeing you in action. In the meantime, thank you so much for all the great moments that we've been enjoying over Christmas, and the happiest of New Year's.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year to you guys. I'll be speaking to you again soon.
Nice.
Thanks, son.
Bye, mate.
Cheers, Adam. All right. Heat 3, which featured Shuvliakov, Smaug Stelis and Tom Stoltman. But it also had Martins Lissis in there, and given that he was on another level, it really came down to a battle for the other spot. And after a disappointing Monster Jam truck pull, it was Tom Stoltman who took it, fighting back against the Latvian Smaug Stelis in a mighty last-man-standing showdown.
Mark Stelis now, you can see he's hurting. He's
starting to see a little weakening of Mark Stelis.
He did that with a smile, just to crush Mark Stelis. There was a hint of a smile as he lifted it.
Stoughton just looks kind of unbeatable at this stage.
He's got just about enough recovery time to keep going on forever with this. Or not. He's breathing heavy when the other man's not looking. Smokes Dallas.
He just realised, even if I put that over there, I'm going to have to do it again.
And again. It's never going to end.
The first brothers to get into the World's Strongest Man Grand Finals, and they are Scottish.
Well, another emotional moment there. Tom, light Luke pointing to the sky after his triumph.
Absolutely. And as a reminder, their mum passed away a few years ago. And to do that, essentially in memory of her, and to see their progression together, I can't think of an example where that's happened before. And to see two British brothers in the final, history in strongman. And it meant so much to them, and also the camaraderie that they had with Eddie Williams. It really was a unifying event.
Right. It was the group of love, really, wasn't it? It's such a nice vibe to this heat, because Eddie there with his bromance with Tom Stoltman, and also Martins Lissis, because those two go back a ways, all of them cheering one another on. And you know what? At this point, it would be nice to catch up with Eddie, who was one of the real surprise stories of this year's event. And I'm delighted to say he joins us on the line all the way from Australia.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a delight because you were... I mean, there were so many things to enjoy in Florida this year, but you were right up there at the top. I know you've got this incredible range of talents that you bring to World's Strongest Man. Part of it was the whole truck-pulling thing, and you are the world tank-pulling champion.
Yes, I haven't lost a truck pull to date.
Brilliant.
And that's a really cool achievement to have, and to do it at the world stage says a lot. And it was awesome to be able to do it in the hardest group, the group of death.
Absolutely. Tank pulling, though, what made you specialise in that vehicle especially?
That was my first time ever pulling a tank. So I pulled like a Ford Ute, but other than that, it was just on the day.
Eddie, how much did you enjoy then appearing at your debut World's Strongest Man in Florida?
It was unreal to be, you know, it's one thing to be strong in your gym, but to be strong on the world stage and back it up is another thing. To be able to be at World's Strongest Man, to also deliver at that level was unreal.
You mentioned other things going for you, one of which I think a lot of people will have seen online, your incredible singing voice. The appearance you make on Australia's Got Talent, which leaves the judges, it's fair to say, dumbfounded as you bring out the Atlas Stones and they're really not sure which way it's going. And then the look on their faces when you open up and let rip with your vocal cords. That must have been a really sweet moment for you.
It was awesome because I've been a wedding singer for the last 10 years. I've done over 500 weddings. And but then I've, in the last 3 or 4 years, I've fallen in love with being a strongman, and yeah, it's mind-blowing.
Nice. Eddie, listen, I'm sure we're going to see loads more from you, not only in strongman, but also in such events as America's Got Talent, I believe, in the new year. So I'm really looking forward to that. Really well done for 2019. It was amazing to have you in World's Strongest Man, and thank you so much for being with us in today's show.
Thank you very much for your time, and I really appreciate all the love that I've received this year.
Eddie Williams, give us an example of what a nice guy he is.
Probably the nicest, actually, is the fact that at the start of this heat, Tom Stoltman's bags didn't turn up, and he's got size 18 or 19 feet. And luckily, Eddie Williams has massive boats too, and he lent him his shoes to pull the truck. And, of course, Tom did magnificently well. So
to compete against himself.
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
It really is. I have to say, Tom's Converse are the largest Converse I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it was quite a feat from Tom Stoltman as he booked his place. Third man to do so after brother Luke and Adam Bishop in the grand finals. But not so much fortune for the next British contestant, Lawrence Sharley, in Heat 4. Rotten luck. This was his last World's Strongest Man. And once again, his appearance blighted by injury. Colin, I've got to ask, has he changed his mind yet? Is he going to come back next year?
I don't know. I mean, it's very hard to go out on a fizzle, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, he's had such a sterling career. I just watch this space. He's Lawrence Charlotte. He can do extraordinary things.
What's such a shame is actually the events in that heat, I think, played out to his strengths. And I think that will be the biggest frustration for him, is knowing what he could have done. He really, by rights, should have earned a place in the final, and then anything can happen. And then it would have been four Brits.
Kuliskoski was informed, though, pulling out one of the performances of the entire series, that Giants medley win in 18 seconds.
Kuliskoski, so fast, so powerful, so explosive.
He's like a machine. He's just brilliant at everything. And you're right, probably the quickest strongman there is.
Into the first of the yokes. £1,000 on his shoulders.
Yeah, those big old quads of his, no problem with the weight there. Now, can he handle 600 kilos?
Well, look at this from Kuliskoski, like it was nothing. Extraordinary.
First man we've seen in any heat finishing that massive giant yoke in one hit. Well done, Kuliskoski.
My goodness, 18.89 seconds for Kuliskoski.
That's not right. It is right, though. That's phenomenal.
I think he might have been sent from the future.
Indeed so. And, you know, what does the future hold for Kuliskoski? Because that's back-to-back runners-up positionings now on the podium. And just put that in perspective. We could hear your voice cracking with emotion as you watched it, Colin, his performance in that Giants medley. How amazing was it, his time?
I mean, the fact is, a 600-kilo yoke at the end of all of that that came before, he was the only man to pick it up and just charge over the line. He might have done 5, 10, 15 metres. OK, to be fair, Brian Shaw also tackled it in one hit, but it was only a few metres, and he was extraordinary. His power in his legs is immense.
But also the power of his core, because he's just not as thick as Brian. And to do that, I think we speak about his deadlift being a weakness. I think this year's proven it might not be his best event, but it's no longer a weakness. What else does he have that he needs to work on? He seems to be the package.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he could run through a wall. He's just an extraordinary talent. And you know, I hope he gets Thor-weighted and he got his turn to win the title. I'm sure it'll come for Kuliskoski too.
Okay.
And he's still in his mid-20s, which is incredible.
Good point.
All right. He went through with the automatic place. JF Caron joining him there after the last man standing, the seventh time that the Canadian has qualified for the final showdown. Heat 5 was an interesting one. Brian Shaw, four-time World's Strongest Man. Mark Felix, legend of the sport. And then some other interesting names like Trey Mitchell III and Oleksiy Novikov. Now, how much did you know about Oleksiy Novikov coming into this, Colin?
I mean, I knew he was Ukrainian. I know he has a degree in business studies. He can speak a bit of English because I'd been backwards and forwards on Facebook with him. I'd seen him at the Arnolds and he was tremendous there. And I almost didn't believe it because I wasn't there in the flesh watching it. But I know the Arnolds is heavy. He must be good.
Right.
And wow.
Were you expecting what we saw then in Heat 5, where he very nearly took top spot from Brian Shaw, which just doesn't happen?
You know, if you didn't see it, he certainly played the rules right up to the line, to where Magnus Vermagnussen was, you know, on the verge of having to invent rules to stop a couple of things that went on. So let me say this. He definitely will feel pretty hard done by, having had a large point lead going into the stone-off against Trey Mitchell. But let's be honest, he also maybe got a few extra points a little easy.
Well, the big showdown between the Ukrainian and the big dog from Colorado was in the dumbbell press, and this is how it went.
Only 10 seconds to go now. If Novikov can get this 10th rep in before Shaw, Novikov will win.
It's up!
Oh. Not good, though. It's not good. Took it for a walk. Shaw gets it. 10 reps for Shaw, and it's all over. Man, that was close.
All of the other reps, he was slower. It does not matter. Shaw does the 10th. Novikov, controversial, hits it, but were his feet ever stationary when he had it locked out? No, they weren't. Good call from Magnus Vermagnussen.
Brian Shaw is the winner of the overhead press. Goes through to the grand final, where he'll try and make it a fifth-time World's Strongest Man.
Wow, it's interesting to speculate, if Shaw had been toppled in that dumbbell press, if he'd gone to the playoff instead against Mitchell third, who do you think would have gone through?
Interesting you say that. I was going to raise the exact same point. I don't think Shaw would have gone through.
Really?
I don't think he's as conditioned as we're used to seeing him. I think he's still capable at every event of achieving greatness, but he's just, there's a chink in his armour. I do think he will come back, but to your point, if he came second, I think he would have been out.
Personally, you know, I think there's a species of ape or gorilla where an alpha comes up against another alpha,
right,
and the uber alpha stands tall, the other one starts to shed its hair. I think Trey Mitchell would have gone bold and would have stood in front of Brian Shaw and he would have panicked.
Now, by the way, quick reminder that you can follow the World of Strongman across social media through our website, theworldstrongestman.com, the Facebook page, the Twitter account, @WorldStrongest, and Instagram, TheWorldStrongestMan. So, let's return now, if we may, to perhaps the biggest event in the World Strongman calendar, and that is the World Strongest Man Grand Finals. Took place on the sands of Manatee Beach in Florida. And my word, what an event it was. Martin Slissers, as we know, was the winner. But one of the real stories was the three Brits there in the grand final, the most that Britain's had since Hall, Hollands and Charley back in 2014. And they weren't just making up the numbers. Tom Stoltman's perfect start in the loading race, something that certainly Eddie Hall picked out as one of the moments of the entire World's Strongest Man competition. Well, we're joined now once again by the 2017 World's Strongest Man, Eddie Hall. Now, of course, the keystone of Channel 5's presentation.
Beast, beast, beast.
Eddie, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing, guys?
Excellent. Very, very well. Very well. Happy New Year to you, Eddie.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Good, good. Now, fantastic finals once again there in Florida. And I know that one of your highlights was Tom Stoltman reaching the grand finals alongside Bish and his brother Luke, but also the way that he began it, just blowing away the competition in the loading race.
Yeah, you know what? It was super, super heartwarming watching Tom and Luke make the final together. You know, you can't help but watch from the sidelines and smile. And then to see Tom stomp into that final and absolutely blitz that loading event. And I just said, you know, he didn't win it by a second or two. He absolutely blitzed the competition. And, you know, I've said it for years. Tom Stoltman is going to win the World's Strongest Man one day. I can feel it in my bones. He's got it in him. He's definitely got it in him. He's got the nature, and he's just working on his nurture. He's putting his training in. He's doing his nutrition. And to see him win that first event at the World's Strongest Man, it just put that smile on my face. And it's just that extra reassurance that I'm right. You know, it's going to happen.
And one interesting thing ahead of this year's, or last year's rather, finals was Martin Slissers teaming up with Hafþór Bjørnson and spending time with him training up. He's another, I guess, giant of the sport who's not dying off. Lissis, how long-term a champion do you think he could be?
I think Lissis is an all-round athlete, you know, in terms of strongman. I don't think he's the strongest, if that makes sense. I don't think he's like, you know, in terms of A to B power, he's not the strongest. But that's not what the World's Strongest Man is about. It's about a test of agility, athleticism, strength. You know, it's all these key factors coming together. And that's what Martin's had this year. He just had that, you know, that, he just had that little bit of everything just thrown in that bowl, mixed it all together, and he just came out on top. He was, I wouldn't say lucky. I would just say he just worked on his weaknesses and brought everything on that level playing field.
This year, he did have the advantage of not facing Hafþór with the Icelander in 100%. I mean, the injury to his foot, no doubt, played a big part in the grand final. You were before putting Hafþór along with Brian Shaw as somebody who's maybe had his day. Are you saying that you can't see Hafþór Bjørnson winning another World's Strongest Man title?
I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is that us athletes, we push ourselves to the absolute limits, and you keep going, and eventually you get so strong that you get too strong for your own good. And I think that's, honestly, I think that's what happened to Hafþór. I just think he was pushing the boat a bit too much, not really working on his mobility as much as he should have. And, you know, things go snap. You know, the tendons, the ligaments become weak over time, pushing these huge weights. And I just think he fell victim to that. You know, he's just pushing it for too hard, too long. You've got to learn when to back off a little bit. And I feel like that was just a result of that. He's just pushing his body way, way too hard in training. It sounds daft, but I think he actually came into World's Strongest Man too strong, and his tendons and ligaments couldn't keep up with him.
Here's a question, Ed, because you've been obviously filming this History Channel series with Brian Shaw, who Where do you rate Brian? I mean, he's got to be considered right up there as maybe the strongest man ever. But what have you learnt about him, having been on the road with him for so long now? You know, could he come back again? I mean, he's the consummate professional, isn't he?
He is. That's the key word there, Colin. He's a professional. I mean, I've been on the road with him, been touring the States with him, and he brings cookers with him. He brings rice cookers. He brings his own meat. He brings his own rice. Brings his own chicken stock, brings his own vegetables, and he cooks it all in his hotel room. You know, we're all eating out in restaurants, and Brian will stay behind, cook his own food, cook his own breakfast. And it's just a lot of effort. But to Brian, it's just a day-to-day thing for him. He's just so professional. He doesn't let anything faze him. I feel as though Brian's getting to that age now, and he'll hate me saying this, but I feel as though Brian's getting to that age now where things start to slow down. You know, you don't recover as much as you did when you were 29, 30, and I think this age just takes hold of your performance when you get to a certain level. And I don't want to say Brian's had his day, because I don't believe that, but I think he's got to work a lot harder now on his recovery and his nutrition and his training to keep the standard where he was at.
In terms of Brian, he'll have been aware of the impact as well. Has he simplified things? Has he streamlined things ahead of his 2020 campaign?
Well, you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but I know Brian wants his fifth title. And when Brian said something, you know, he gets his head down and he goes for it. So yeah, there's nothing stopping him.
I'm going to put it out there. I think he can do it. I back Brian.
I think he can do it as well. I generally do.
Beast on a comeback. Come on, Beast!
Eddie, listen, it's always illuminating to hear from you and get your take on the world of strongman and beyond. So thank you so much for joining us today, and brilliant to work with you again. Look forward to teaming up again in the new year, and have yourselves a fantastic 2020 in the meanwhile.
Thank you very much, guys. You all take care and have a good year. See you later.
Really interesting to get that perspective there from Eddie, and it kind of bears out what we saw in the final. Well, Kiliskovsky was blitzing the overhead press medley, and then Lissis took his first event win in the squat lift. We just weren't seeing it from Thor, who had his foot injury, but from Brian Shaw.
Brian Shaw in 2017, the year Eddie won. I mean, one of the excuses, it was very valid, was he ran out of time squatting. Do you remember right. that? He was still squatting after the 13th rep. What did Eddie win it with, 15 or something? Shaw could have done more, for sure. So he ran out of gas. It was simply too heavy. Maybe it was too hot, I don't know. But there was no excuses there. He was soundly beaten by Lissis in the squat. And of course, they struggled on the sand in the loading. And it's with only five events, it's hard to come back in that kind of contest for them.
Right. Brian didn't manage it, didn't make the podium this time around. Thor did, bouncing back in the deadlift hold, despite that really major injury to his foot. Winning that event, it gave him a shot on the podium. But of course, he was to hand his crown over at the end of the finals to Martins Lissis. Colin, you spoke to the Icelandic strength giant a little bit earlier on.
Nice to chat with you. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Hapthor, we've just seen World's Strongest Man, and obviously a lot of Hapthor Bjornsson fans might be in tears still. How upset are you having to hand over to Martins Lissis?
I mean, Martins is an amazing athlete and amazing guy. He did well, you know. I just want to congratulate him and his family, friends, fans, and just wish him nothing but the best. And I hope this will bring him many, many, many opportunities, you know.
Do you think the right man won?
Definitely. He did amazing, you know. But, you know, it's a competition. You always want to win, but he was the better man that day.
For me, seeing you hurt your foot and having done the plantar fascia, I actually thought you weren't going to get up the next day. And I was chatting with Brian in the tent. He'd done the same thing. And he was like, I don't think you'll get up the next day either. The pain is horrible. And of course, I'm not your body weight. So how was that mentally? Did you think that damaged you? Do you think if you hadn't had that, you'd have won?
So I remember when I got that injury, I had no clue what happened to my foot. I just had like insane pain. I remember the day after when I woke up. Yeah, that's true. I couldn't walk. But somehow I was just crawling. I remember I crawled to the couch and I asked my wife to bring a lot of ice. She put it in the basket and I kept my foot for a whole day almost in the ice basket. Mm. And then I was rolling my foot as well a lot. And it actually got better
like, but it still was in a lot of pain.
Mm.
People get injured, you know, guys get injured every single year.
Yeah.
Actually, the year I won World Series, man, I was also injured.
Did you?
Almost a week before I left, I broke my toe. And
I did not know that. I did not know that.
I didn't talk about it. Like, there's a lot of guys out there that, you know, talk about their injuries. And in my mind, I always, like, kept everything by myself and tried to make it look like I was just healthy. And I wanted the guys to be basically...
scared.
Training has been on point. There's no injuries. Nothing is wrong with that guy. He's just like, he's unbeatable. Like, I wanted that mindset in their head. And that's how I've always been playing. Like, I've been, and that's usually how I treat, you know. I might have, I'm like, in the past, I've had some issues. Before World Series Man 2017, I tore my quad 4 weeks before. I didn't tell anyone.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know any of this.
You know, I have a huge collection of pictures where my leg is actually black.
Did it really?
At the same time, I couldn't train like I would have wanted to, you know, but I still didn't tell anyone, you know.
But you were so strong. I did not know that about 2017. That's amazing. I have to say, it's been a pleasure having you on. It was in particular a pleasure watching you pass on the title to Marty with such grace, grace of a champion, because it's a champion's not just about winning, it's about how you react when you're not winning as well. So the champion's mindset was there. So thank you very much, Hap Thor. And from all of us here at World's Strongest Man, I would like to wish you a happy new year, my friend.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
Wow. The 2018 World's Strongest Man, Hap Thor Bjornsson. Colin, on to the Atlas Stones then. And what a performance once again from Tom Stoltman. He knew that if he beat Brian Shaw, who he was up against, he could finish level on points, but would be classified as the top finisher of the two because this was a tiebreaker event. An epic moment from the mighty Scot.
Tom!
On to Tom Stoltman then. Just 2 points behind Brian Shaw.
United States. Brian Shaw!
So this could be big, Colin.
Well, in many ways, there's a lot more for Tom to gain out of this than Brian Shaw. Shaw used to be known as the king of the stones.
These stones heavier than ever. Oh, yes, manages it.
Brian's catching, though. He was a bit slow and cumbersome on the first couple, but the big man is back.
Well, a fumble from Shaw.
Can he do it?
He does! Well, this is big from Stoltman. Brian Shaw finishes as well.
Your current leader.
Well, what a test. Stoltman. The heaviest set ever. Suitable. Just about the biggest, heaviest grand final ever. Very impressive from Tom.
Well, Colin, Tom Stoltman not only making the grand final, but beating four-time champion Brian Shaw into fifth place. What was that like, witnessing those scenes?
You know, I thought it was a moment when Tom Stoltman actually proved what Eddie's been saying to us all, that actually Tom Stoltman has what it takes. Before, I just thought maybe he would get that point. He might just about have the strength, but can he stand up to the likes of Brian Shaw in that kind of cauldron of excitement? And yeah, he beat him. And he looked casual and he enjoyed himself. And I thought, wow, this kid's got a cool head as well as all of the muscles necessary to win this.
To bookend the final the way he did, absolutely fantastic. And he's known for being very, very fast on the stones, which I think is in many ways a gift and a curse, because if you know you're fast, you're going to push the margins. If you push the margins, you open up the door to potential failure. And to deliver on the highest stage like that, it delighted not only his brother, everyone there in Florida, and indeed all of us Brits and all of us strongman fans watching, because the future is very, very exciting for Tom Stoltman.
Wow. Meantime, the present belonged to Martins Lissis, who didn't need to win the stones, but he's Martins Lissis, so he went and did it anyway, finishing in the best possible style.
Well, Kieliszkowski, currently in second place, up against crowd favourite Lissis. It's going to be between these two. Hello to you.
Marty's little brother and his mum. His mum looking very emotional. And if this was some kind of mathematical graph, Lissis is definitely on the up and up. But can Kieliszkowski turn the tide here?
Lissis just nipping ahead now.
looking confident. That was so high, so easy from Lissis.
On to the last stone, Martins Lissis. And with this, he becomes the world's strongest man. And in style, he wins the Atlas Stone and the competition overall.
The new golden boy, Martins Lissis, world's strongest man.
That's a happy mum. And look at this from Bjornsson. I mean, this is a true changing of the guard moment. And a stark contrast to last year as well. Just the brotherhood here. And Tom Stoltman at fifth finishes our leading Brit, but right now it's all about Martins Lissis, and that was the moment that this man became the world's strongest man.
Well, I'm delighted to say that we can now hear from the 2019 World's Strongest Man champion. Speaking to Colin Bryce, it's Martins Lissis.
Well, hello there, Colin. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, man, thank you for joining us on the line, the WSM podcast, and you are the WSM. How does that feel?
It feels quite incredible. A childhood dream come true, Colin. Just like all the stars aligned, all that hard work came through.
Fascinating to know how Thor took it. I mean, it looked like he took it on the chin. Are you two guys friends?
Oh, yeah. I love that guy. He's the, you know, as time's gone by, we've grown on each other a lot more and more. It's gone from me like looking at him like starstruck and completely in awe when I'm around him and so nervous, to now us, me, you know, traveling out to Iceland, training heavy together, and the thing is, like, Thor, I've realized he's a total goofball. You don't never really see this so much in person or on camera, but when you're in person long enough with him, he's just a big kid at heart, and I get along with him in that way because I am too.
What was really the turning point for you in the final then, Martins? A moment you realized you really were going to win World's Strongest Man?
Oh, man. I mean, I went into the contest with that intention, that pure, fiery intention. But, of course, reality hit me that it was actually about to happen after that. I won the squat. But I didn't want to celebrate just yet because the next event was going to be the grip hold for time, that deadlift hold. And grip is an interesting thing because if you just take it for granted, if even like you allow a drop of sweat into your palm before you started the event, you could lose it all. So I didn't want to allow any of those thoughts into my mind of just getting too excited quite yet. I went into that event completely focused, knowing that if I just beat Mateusz on the grip, there was no one that was going to catch up to me in that contest. And that's exactly what I did.
And Marty, has it changed your life at all, winning World's Strongest Man?
Absolutely, it's changed my life. I mean, in the sense that I'm getting invited to game shows and all sorts of TV appearances. That's all very exciting. So many doors are opening. But more than anything, I don't want to just lay low quite yet. I'm not done. I'm just getting started. I want the next several years to be epic, and I want to win again.
What are your goals then? What in strongman in particular and in life? What, I mean, you're
my goals. Mm. I want to be multiple time World's Strongest Man. I want to win Arnold's. I want to win all the other big shows. Because there's much more of a ring to 2, 3, or 4 time World's Strongest Man than 2019's World's Strongest Man. So I can't just finish with just one. I could go down as one of the best ever.
What a worthy champion. Perhaps if there'd been a truck pull, right, the giants, the dinosaurs, if you like, would have had more mass pulls, mass, baby. I mean, maybe they would have had that extra event. It would have made a difference for the supersized guys. But out and out, strength test happened, and Martins won.
Martins Lissis, who would have called him at the beginning of the event to deliver like he's done? He started with dreadlocks. He's now got shorter hair, but he's not short on talent. And he's just, I'm so pleased for him, because actually he's somebody I think historically you'd look at and say he's not a giant.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he really performed like one. And that athleticism, that determination, he proclaimed it many years ago and he really has delivered.
It's interesting, though, the way that he's been plugging the gaps in his kind of array of talents. When he first came onto the scene, certainly for World's Strongest Man in Botswana, he looked electric, but there were certain events that he just wasn't competitive at. And that's changing. It was really interesting what you were saying, Colin, about the fact that he actually spent, was it a month, training with Hafþór Bjornsson ahead of this year's World's Strongest Man. And whether in some way that might have played into him actually getting the win this year over Thor.
The outstanding moment, watching it live there, actually, it was great seeing Lissis win his first title, but actually watching Hapthor go over and really genuinely hug him, and he wasn't bitter at all. I've always been very impressed with Hapthor, and we've had our ups and downs, but actually I thought, wow, he's a real man. I mean, he took it right on the chin. He's just lost his world title, and he couldn't have looked happier. I mean, he really could see, he knew Lysis was the man. He didn't complain, didn't moan once about the, you know, Lysis taking over. It was like he passed on the green jacket, so to speak, to the right man. And that was very honourable and impressive from him.
It was an incredible performance from Thor, given the injury he'd picked up in the heat. It was a brand new American champion. It was three British strongmen in the final for the first time in 5 years. It was so many things there in Florida. Before we get your final thoughts, Colin and Radzi, let's get a quick catch up with, for many, the number one voice in strongman, Danny Wallace.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello, Danny. Again. Apart from your great commentary, what were your best bits this year?
Oh, man. Well, obviously, sharing, I was going to say lip mics there, but that sounds wrong, but sharing a little booth with the mighty Colin Bryce is a highlight of any year. It's become a proverb, in fact, in my house, that kind of thing. But obviously, just watching the Brits this year just inspire. I mean, Adam Bishop, I've just watched, as we all have over the years, just getting bigger and badder and sort of growing into his role and really kind of representing Britain from what was a guy who, several years ago, would have been a man you'd have just seen in a pub and gone, yes, he's a fairly big fella, to a kind of a recognisable, proper British strongman and maybe a world's strongest man in waiting one day. So just to watch him go and see him progress was brilliant. The last time we talked, I spoke about the Stoltman boys. And, I mean, what a year for them, just kind of representing their country and more specifically representing Scotland and doing it so well. To watch them really develop and to be on the cusp of something so exciting, all while being just watched so proudly by their dad. I mean, can you imagine? You know, he's not the biggest man in the world. And somehow, you know, I don't know whether he was, you know, eating a lot of spinach sort of 20, 25, 30 years ago. But certainly something worked for him. And these two massive lads, I mean, what a, you know, a difficult labour that must have been. But these lads came out and now there they are. And he is watching them kind of, you know, and thinking in some way I did that. So, you know, we would all love that for our sons, wouldn't we? And for him to have two of them and for them to be so nice with it, just that for me, that made Christmas.
The Stolt Men, as you christened them.
The Stolt Men, very, very nice.
Plural, the official plural.
Danny, these are great times, I think, for us all to be chronicling this sport. We're really lucky to be witnessing some seismic changes and some really extraordinary feats within World's Strongest Man.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think that, you know, when I was growing up, I always remember World's Strongest Man with such fondness and such, you know, kind of... But generally, it was the memory was a bunch of fellas in a pub car park lifting barrels. And now you have the kind of this incredible spectacle and the athletes putting their life and their soul into it and people like, you know, Charley. And the aforementioned Bishop and Terry Hall and all these kind of these big Brits, you know, we're still a small country. Some would say getting smaller all the time, and yet somehow we are creating not just these incredibly strong figures, but these incredibly big characters who I think feel proud to be representing our little island and doing so well on the world stage. So these are exciting times, yeah.
It's almost like a fresh generation of British strongmen are getting inspiration from maybe, I don't know, some TV commentary or something like that. Just,
well, we all need a patron saint, don't we?
That's so true. You know, you mentioned on our preview show for this year's Giants Live Tour and World's Strongest Man, Martins Lysis, and how much you enjoy watching him perform both physically and the way the character he brings to the sport. His celebration, I know that really hit you quite hard.
Can I just cut in here? I had to take my headphones off and look at the wall a little bit. It was a touching moment, especially with the little brother there and everything.
Oh,
and
he God, did, yeah.
And I looked over and I thought, right, just make sure Danny isn't looking at me. Danny was kind of slightly wiping his eye a little bit as well.
Yeah.
I thought, at least it's not me, big Danny.
It's no, I know. You know, all of us watched this family and we've watched this sort of this kid, Lysis, come from sort of nowhere with... the backing of his mum, who we all thought was his sister to start with. You know, there's some, there's a lot of good genes going on in this this strongman family. And then he you know, he was slightly petulant at points. He was cocky. He was sort of arrogant. There was a point, I think, last year or maybe the year before where he, you know, just looked like he wanted to not talk to his mum and just go to his bedroom instead. And now we see his little brother looking up at his big brother, who has just done something so extraordinary. All this fuss is being made for his big brother, and his big brother just takes that moment just to make him feel special. Mm. And I think that anyone who has a kid, or who has been a kid, or who has a brother, or is a little brother, or
that's everybody, brother, basically.
You know, that, yeah, that hits you hard. Mm-hmm. So there is, within a sport which is based on grit and determination and toughness, we have to remember there's also a lot of tenderness there, and these people have real families, and the sacrifices they make are enormous, and they inspire lots of people. But my God, you would inspire your little brother, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Do you know, Danny, it's like I always say, the heart is the biggest muscle of all.
Oh, that's lovely.
Danny, thank you so much for joining us again today. And best of luck with all your patron saint duties in 2020 until we meet again.
Until we meet again, I say, for the final time this year. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Danny. Brilliant stuff.
Cheers. See you all soon.
Radzi, what's your final thought then after all of that?
My final thought is strongman in Britain could not be in a better place, especially with Tom Stoltman. Keep an eye on that young man because he's going places. And also, I think the actual production of strongman is going through the roof as well, in no small part down to James Rowat, who's one of the producers back there. So massive congratulations to him.
Yes, Top. let me chip in there and say, actually, I've been involved in this almost 25 years now. I think this was the finest television series there has ever been. It was magnificent, and I enjoyed it very much watching it back.
Brilliant. Well, listen, thanks to you both for being with us for this look back. 2020 is hopefully going to be another bumper year. Who knows who we'll be celebrating in a year's time. For now, though, we hope you've enjoyed the coverage on Channel 5 and on CBS Sports Network in the States. And until next time, from Radzi Collin, James Rowat, and myself, it's goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the official podcast for the world's strongest man, brought to you by IMG Audio.